kids, we have something special for you today. So if you are a kid, however you might define that, you guys can come to the front couple of rows, fill up these rows. If you want to sit on the floor, you can. And we got something for you. Front and center. All right. There's no back row Baptists with the kids. All right. Come on up, Akea. I have something I need to get out for you guys. All right, let me pull my stand up here. Everybody's here. All right, I have two choices for you. I got something special for you. Hopefully your parents are okay with it, but you have two options. I have a bag of cookies here. These are ginger snaps. Does anybody want a cookie? You have two choices. You can have one of these cookies right now. Unless your parent comes running down here saying, no, don't give it to them. Or you can have one of these cookies later. Who wants a little store-bought cookie right now? If you choose this one, you don't get this one. You can have the little one now, the big one later. Who wants the little one now? Want a little one now? You want a little one now? All right, are you sure? You don't want this one. You can't have both. Who else wants a little one now? Little one now? You can't have the little one. This has something that you can't have, but I have something for you. Do you want yours now? Because you get more later if you wait. Little one now? All right, we got some takers for the little one. Anybody else? There you go. Anybody else? Little one now? They're going like hotcakes. Anybody else? You can have this later. You want this one now? All right. Anybody else? Got a whole basket of these giant ones is going to be left over. You want the little one now? Okay, big one later. Everybody else wants a big one later? Okay. All right. I hope you guys enjoy the little one now. Hopefully there are going to be no tears later. Okay, you want yours now? All right. Okay, one more. One more. Here you go, okay. These are really good. They are good. Some people might rather have that than this. Okay, I'm going to teach you guys a really big word, okay? So some of you may not be able to get it. I mean, Will, you're probably not going to understand this. But how many of you have ever heard of delayed gratification? Besides Herlin's, because we kind of talked about this yesterday. Delayed gratification. Emma, you have an idea what that is? It's tricky. It's a big word, and some of you can get it. Some of you might not. What does the word delay mean? Have you ever had a delay? What does that mean? What does it mean, TJ? If something is delayed, school's delayed, so you have to wait like 2 hours before you go in, right? So a delay is a wait, right? Gratification, that's a big word. What does that mean? Comes from like the word grateful. Abby? Reward, yeah, it's getting gratification is I get what I want, right? And a bunch of you wanted your cookie now, right? So you got it. That was instant gratification. Delayed gratification means I wait to get what I want. Isabel. Exactly. The big giant cookie's coming to those who waited. Delayed gratification. So, an example. If my kids want to have a friend over, they have to have a clean bedroom. How many of you, if I go to your bedroom, is perfectly clean right now? Okay, we got a couple. I don't know if this is true or not. But anybody have a messy room? Nah, come on, let's be honest. Yes, we have messy rooms. Well, in our house, if you want to have a friend over, you got it. What? You got to clean your room for home group? Oh, messy room. Good. So you have your grandma and your grandpa live with you all the time, right? It's like you have friends over all the time. MJ?
Yeah, so I don't have extra friends over.
Right. Ooh. Is that a train? Is that a train you have? Do you have to wait a while to get that? Yeah, nice. Wow. When I'm gone, he's gonna take over for me. Pretty cool. This guy's an expert on trains. If you guys have any questions, adults, kids, MJ can answer your questions. He's amazing. How many of you guys like dessert? A bunch of you. You want that cookie right now. You like dessert? When do you eat dessert? Do you have it for breakfast?
No. Dessert for? We did the one time at the club.
One time we did have dessert for breakfast, but not very normally. You have to wait till after
dinner.
Do you have to eat all your dinner first? Yeah, you got to finish your dinner. You got to eat your salad. You got to eat your peas and your asparagus and your noodles and your meat. Your healthy stuff, right? You got to eat your healthy stuff. Asparagus, yes. Question? It's going to be longer than I thought. Ooh. All right, no questions right now. Hold on a second. Okay, so you have to wait to get your dessert, right? And you don't get dessert after every meal, right? Just sometimes. You finish your dinner, eat the healthy stuff, and then you get dessert, which we like to do that.
We don't always get dessert.
No, but sometimes. But you have to eat your dinner first. Now, how many of you know that there is that's delayed gratification? You have to wait. Sometimes you have to do something in order to get what you want, right? Did you know there's delayed gratification with God? Sometimes you have to wait to get some of the best things. Sometimes there is that with God. How many of you think heaven is going to be pretty exciting? Anybody think heaven's going to be pretty amazing, pretty exciting? I do, definitely. Yes, it's going to be amazing. What are you most excited about heaven? God, yes. What else? Get to see Jesus. Jesus, God, and the cookies. All right. That's a holy trinity or something. DJ. Wait, one at a time. One at a time. Go ahead, TJ. Some family members that passed away. Yeah. Karis. Oh, no sickness. Yes. Jesse.
I get to all my allergies.
No more allergies, right? You get to eat anything. Yes. There's some really... No more colds, no more sick. Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, good. No more questions. No more questions. But you know what? I bet you none of us are going to go to heaven today, are we?
No.
No, why not? Why can't we go to heaven today?
It's not time
yet. God has work for you to do. Did you know God has jobs, special jobs for you to do, Daniel? You know God has special jobs for you? Jesse?
Yeah.
Special jobs for you. Is that really cool that God has special jobs for you to do? Is that kind of cool?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
I think it's amazing. But God told us he has special jobs for us to do, and we can't go to heaven until we get those special jobs done. Now, we don't go to heaven by doing special jobs, right? How do we get to heaven? How do we get to heaven? By being good. Can you be good enough to get to heaven? We need somebody's help, don't we? Yeah, me right now. You have work to do first. Karis? Yeah, Jesus died to forgive us because we've done bad things. We do good things, but we've done bad things too. So we can't do enough good to get to heaven. But once we... Oh, boy. You have to limit your sugar intake. That's for sure. Okay, hands down. So God has special things for us to do before we get to heaven. We have to wait to get all that amazing, amazing stuff. But I think one thing I want you to think about is some of those special jobs God has for you to do, because sometimes they're hard. Sometimes those special jobs are hard. One of God's special jobs for you is to obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. How many of you, it's hard sometimes to obey your parents? Ugh, yeah, it's hard. Sometimes you don't want to obey because, you know, I'm still playing this game. I don't want to clean it up yet, right? That doesn't make sense. What do you mean I have to give this truck back to my sister? She just hit me with it. You don't like going to school. I don't want to go to school today. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to go to bed. Sometimes our parents don't understand us, right? They don't understand. I don't want to do that. But did you know sometimes your parents understand things that you don't understand? Yeah. And did you know sometimes God understands things we don't understand?
Yeah.
That's why we need to trust him and do what he says and do what our parents say with a good attitude. He sees it all and he knows it all. That's right. So we want to do what he says. We want to do those special jobs he has for us, right?
He made us.
Okay, no questions right now. It's hard sometimes to do that. But when you think about Jesus has special jobs for me and you think about it that way, it becomes a little bit easier because you're thinking about what's ahead. I'm going to be with him someday. And for now, he has got jobs for me to do, so I'll do them. So this week, when your parents give you something to do, think about this. This is a special job from God. Right, ladies? We're about out of time. So God's going to have special jobs for you to do. Think about it that way. When your parents say you need to do this, think about, okay, this is a special job from God. And think about delayed gratification. Something is coming. God has special things. All right. Who did not take a cookie yet? Does anybody want one of these? All right, if you didn't get a cookie already, then you get one of these. Now, here's what you got to do with it. It's in a baggie. You need to take it back to your parents. You may not eat it until they say you can eat it, because this is like 4 cookies. This is big. So you take it back to your parents.
Excuse me?
Yes. Oh, after lunch. Perfect. All right. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you guys go back to your classes. So everybody that already got a cookie, stand up. If you already got a cookie, stand up. Didn't you get a cookie already? I handed you a cookie. Okay, stand up if you got a cookie. And you're going to follow Miss Ann and Miss Tara back to class. Okay, if you got a cookie, head back to class. You might need some parental involvement. I'm not sure. Some of the younger ones. All right, if you did not have a cookie yet, here's your cookie, and you can go back to class. And for you, Jesse, since I made you wait, oh, no, you can't have this. Where is it? Pointing at it. Abby has something special for Jesse. All right, there you go, Jesse. That is special for you. All right, here you go. Whoever did you get a cookie yet? Okay. All right. Good job, guys. You guys have been great. Bring this to your parents, and you can have it when they say you can have it. Okay? Did you get a cookie, MJ? All right. Give it to mommy. Bring it to mommy. All right. Anybody else? You may not have it now. You have to give it to your mother. She's going back to class with you. Okay. You may not eat it yet. This is delayed gratification. So we have, you can decide whether you want to delay or eat it now. If anybody can't handle themselves, you want to rush down to the front, grab a ginger snap, I won't stop you. All right. Well, we haven't done one of those things in a while. That was, you know, I'm not used to doing that yet. And that was good. Lots of participation, right? Whew. All right. There will be more of those cookies in the back afterward that you can help yourself to, but they won't be as big as the children's cookies. Today, we begin a 10-week series called True Greatness. This is, anybody excited to be back in the book of Mark again? We're back to Mark. We're going to be in these couple of chapters for 10 weeks, back in the Gospel of Mark. Anybody excited to be in Mark? Come on now. Come on. The Gospel of Mark. We're going to talk about true greatness. This is Act 2 of our journey through Mark. And we've broken the Gospel of Mark into three sections to look at it. It kind of makes sense, kind of logical. The first eight chapters, we're getting to know Jesus' heart. This is who Jesus is. And we want to reflect his heart. He's a man and a God of compassion, serving, loving people, caring for people. And we just kind of continue to look at, the more my heart reflects his heart, the more I'm going to thrive. The more I'm going to thrive living out the life God designed for me. So we see Jesus as his ministry begins and develops and all this stuff happens. Act 2, these couple of chapters, this is more Jesus teaching. He's going to teach us some stuff. They're going to be moving from Galilee south to Jerusalem. And as they go, Jesus is preparing his followers for what's coming up in the final act. And I think you know what's coming in the final act, but these guys are not prepared for it. So he's preparing his people for true greatness, which is not what they expect, what they think should be. So Act 2, welcome to the way to true greatness. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Open your Bibles if you have one. I'm going to read this section all the way through chapter 9, verse 1. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us, that you'll open our hearts, open our eyes to understand your word, understand your way. God, your way is not the same as ours. And so I pray that we would have open hands to release our grip on our way and open our hearts to your way that is different. Thank you for your goodness. We can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 8, 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." Delayed gratification. This is a key ingredient to arriving at true greatness. It's been about 2 months since we were last in Mark. So in order to fully appreciate what's going on here that we just read, we need to understand the context. We need to understand what was happening before. So just think about everything the disciples have experienced up to this point. from the day they laid eyes on him until this point right now. This, I just want to show you the progression. I put up on the board, and it's going to maybe drive you crazy because there's kind of a lot here, and hopefully you can see it and understand it. But this is Jesus from the disciples' perspective, okay? And it starts down here. It starts where Jesus appears on the scene, okay? So they first see Jesus, and Jesus is baptized. So there's going to be a progression, and it just keeps building and building, right? That Jesus is more and more than they thought he was. So he calls his disciples, he chooses them, then the healings begin. What is this? More healings. People are demons are cast out, people are healed, the sick are made well, the blind are can see. And then we got confrontation with the Pharisees. He's rejecting the way that they're doing things. He's got his own teaching that is so different, and the people are just amazed by his teaching. Then they're out in the boat, and he stops the waves. Who is this? And then he raises the dead. Can you see this growing progression? If I had a taller arm, I would make this go up higher. Then they're out in the field with probably like 10,000 people, 5,000 men, women, children, and they have one little kid's lunch, and everybody gets fed and is filled. This is incredible. Jesus walks on the water. He completely rejects the religious leaders, and it all builds, and it keeps building and building and building to this point where Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, I know who you are. You are the Messiah." Where do you think the disciples are going to go from here? What's next? Well, if you're the Messiah and you've called us to be your leaders here, then we have work to do. It's like a campaign to run. Like, we got to get Herod out of here. We might need to get Caesar out of here. Like, the real king is here. Jesus is the great one. True greatness has arrived. And we're going to bring him in. We're going to show everybody who he is. Onward and upward, right? This is amazing. All they've experienced. And Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected and killed. Say what? What? You're the Messiah. Nobody's hurting you. Like, can you understand why Peter, the mouth, would argue with Jesus? Oh, no. No, 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 no. That's not going to happen. We are going to protect you. That is not going to happen. And Jesus shuts him down. Get behind me, Satan. You are speaking the words of Satan right there. Wow. But that's what the disciples can see. Their perspective is limited. They don't see it all. See if we can see God's perspective. God's perspective is different from the disciples' perspective, right? I mean, can we get that? We understand that? God's perspective is different. Where did Jesus come from? Like, it doesn't start where he just showed up on the scene, right? He started in heaven, right? He started in heaven. He's born, right? Jesus is born. He's on earth now. And his ministry goes, and his ministry expands, and he starts doing those healings, and everything from Acts 1 to 8 is in kind of this little section until they get to this place where Peter declares, "You are Messiah." So there's a declaration right there. But Jesus came from here, okay? You are Messiah. This is the first 8 chapters of Mark. And now he's going to say, we're not onward and upward. There's a way that we have to go to get there, and the way is down. We're going to have to go down. I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to be rejected. And I'm going to have to be killed. We're not going up. We're going down. This is what he's teaching them. He's telling them about this. But once I get down here, then guess what's going to happen? Resurrection. Resurrection's coming, and glory. Glory. He humbled himself to the point of death, and God exalted him to the highest place. This is true greatness right there. That other piece, it was kind of, it was accurate, but it was incomplete. It wasn't the whole thing. So there's going to have to be this big old canyon they have to go through. Some tough times are coming. They didn't see it coming. They didn't expect that. So Jesus is going to take a couple of chapters, basically chapters 9 and 10, to explain and prepare them for that. And then up until, this is chapters 11 through 16, is going to go through that through to the resurrection. Do you see that? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? This is where Jesus is kind of bursting their bubble a little bit. It's not onward and upward. It's not just all glory and greatness. Like, there's going to have to be some suffering. Even for Jesus to arrive at the ultimate destination of true greatness, he had to go through suffering, rejection, and death. The disciples want to skip this part. Peter especially wants to skip this part. Let's just go right to true greatness. Can we just do that? You can't skip a leg of the journey and get there. If you want to drive to Florida, you can't skip Georgia. You have to go through it. If you want to get to Pittsburgh, you gotta drive all the way through Pennsylvania. You can't skip a leg of the journey and get there. This is the only way to get there. Argue or not, that's there. They couldn't see it. He's telling them. He's showing them. That's there. And then Jesus goes on and he teaches them, you're going to have to do that too. You're going to have to go through that too. This is part of your journey. Expect it or not, that's how it is. And he tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. You know, Satan kind of tried that tactic with Jesus before. Remember the temptation? He was in the desert. He took him up on a high hill and said, hey, look at all this stuff. You just bow to me. You bow down to me and you can have it all. You can be the king. You can be true greatness. Just bow down to me. You can skip that whole thing. Skip that whole thing. And what did Jesus say? Get away from me. Get away from me. I'm going through that. I'm not worshiping you. You worship one God. This right here was pretty essential, wasn't it? For our salvation. Skip that and we're done. So that's the plan for Jesus. And then he goes on. In verse 34, he calls the whole crowd to him, along with the disciples. He said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So this is your journey too. This is your journey too. If we want to follow Jesus, we got to go with him through that canyon. What is that going to mean? What does that mean to deny yourself and take up your cross? What does that mean? We started getting into it with the kids a little bit with this delayed gratification. I'm not just living for me and what I want right now. Well, let's look a little bit I'm sorry. I didn't change the slides. I was going to do it this way, and I didn't think you could probably see it. So this is my fault. Here we go. Deny yourself. Deny yourself means I consistently say no to selfish interests and earthly securities. I consistently say no to selfish interest and earthly securities. Earthly securities. I'm not living for that anymore. That's not my comfort. That's not where I get what I want. I'm not going to make decisions based on what makes me happy right now. Deny myself. I'm not living that way. I'm not going to do what I want to do right now. I'm going to make my decisions based on what makes God happy. What makes God happy? That's how I'm going to make my decisions. Because, not just because it makes God happy, but because it's wisdom. And that's going to make me truly happy. Is that selfish? It's wise. I mentioned with the kids that my kids have to clean their room if they want to have a friend over. If my daughter has this anticipation of a friend coming over, She gladly cleans up her room. She's singing. She's having a good time, getting it done and working fast. Like, it's amazing. Like, yeah, my friends come over. Sooner I get it done, sooner she can come over. It changes when you have that anticipation, when you're looking forward to that thing. Denying yourself is a lot easier when you're anticipating what's ahead. It's a lot easier. So if you were here last week, denying yourself is actually denying that initial state we talked about. We talked about that initial state I was born into, foolishness, deception, disobedience, addiction, like foolishness and disobedience, addiction, and deception, all those things. That's what I'm called to deny. I'm supposed to turn away from my own foolishness, my own disobedience. That's what I'm supposed to turn away from, my old self. That's what I have to deny. But I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want to make it sound easy, because this is not easy. Denying yourself is not an easy thing. It is not easy at all. It's hard. It's hard, and it's a constant battle. One of my commentaries had a quote in there. I just want to include for you. This is another piece of the puzzle. Denying yourself is a radical abandonment of one's own identity and self-determination. It's not the denial of something to the self, like giving up chocolate for Lent, but the denial of the self itself. You might not need to think about that a little bit. Abandoning self-determination. If I want to follow Jesus, it means I have to stop following myself. I don't get to chart my course anymore. There's someone else who's charted it for me, and I accept that and I embrace that. If I want to follow Jesus, I have to abandon following me. And I just wonder, have you gotten to that point with God? When did you get to that point with God? When you abandoned following self to follow Him. Can you think of that? I mean, maybe it was a process. Maybe it was a slow progression. For me, it happened freshman year of college. That was the point in time where God showed me, you are not following me. I'm a side dish. And I was following my plan, and this was my life, and Jesus was on the side, and He was there to make my life better and to bless me and my plans, what I wanted to do. That's how it was. And He pointed that out to me, showed me that's not going to work. Freshman year of college, I turned that around and said, I got to get rid of that. I can't do that. It's not going to work. That's when I denied self. And I've been on that path ever since. Not that I haven't wrestled with it and tried to, you know, still go back. But that was the point in time where I denied myself, and I'm still following that. Can you think of a point in time where you did that? Says deny yourself and take up your cross. Deny yourself is the negative, right? It's what you turn away from. Take up your cross is actually the positive. Take up your cross is the positive. It's what you grab hold of. Now there's confusion over this one. So I want to be clear that it doesn't say take up His cross. You're not called to take up His cross. There's one cross that Jesus took, and He took it, and He took it for us, and He changed our lives by it. We're not called to take up His cross. I've heard of some people in other countries who've actually nailed themselves to crosses. They thought that I've got to experience what He experienced. I'm going to go through that suffering. He said, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to make myself suffer. We're not called to that. That's His cross. We're called to take up our cross. Take up your cross that will include suffering. So what does it mean? Denying yourself is saying no to something, right? Selfish interest, earthly securities. Taking up your cross is saying yes. I don't know if I have it on here. I don't have it on here. Don't look at that yet. Don't look at that. We'll get to that in a little bit. My slides are not complete. Denying yourself is saying no to those earthly securities and really my plan, my old self. Taking up your cross is saying yes to God's plan, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever suffering it includes, whatever it is, it's just saying yes, I'm going to follow your plan. And I don't know what that includes. For me, I don't know what it includes for you. But when I deny myself and I take up my cross, I'm not following my plan anymore, I'm following His. And in some ways, he warns us, your path is going to reflect the path of Jesus. It's going to include suffering. It's going to include rejection. And it may include death of some kind. That's the way to true greatness. There's going to be a dip. You're going to have to go through some tough times. That's the way it is for Jesus. It's the way it is for us. Jesus said it here in verse 35, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loves his life for me and for the, or whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. You gain life by laying it down. That's the backwards principle that God's given us that's true. You gain life by laying it down. If you are a mom, you know what it means to deny yourself. You've had to deny yourself as a mom. Some dads know what it means to deny themselves, but every mom does. Every mom gets that. And I would suggest that most moms who deny themselves end up gaining in the process. Right? Now, maybe you haven't got to that point yet. You will. But if you are denying yourself for your children, you will gain in the process. You will have experiences with them that your kids can bless you in ways that no one else can. Right? When you're there for that first, you know, they're taking that first step towards you, you know, or when they're learning to eat by themselves and food is like just going down and it's all over the floor, and well, that's how it is. But you know, there are blessings there when they just lay their head right down here and fall asleep. Nobody else can do that for you. When you deny yourself, you end up gaining. We have some grandparents here who've made deep sacrifices for the sake of their grandkids. And I think they've probably been blessed as a result. Look at verse 36 and 37. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is making a value statement right there. According to Jesus, what is the most valuable thing that exists? It's your soul, right? You, as a person, people are the most valuable thing. You could have a mountain of gold. You could have diamonds the size of watermelons. And you give up your soul? You've got nothing. You've got nothing. That's what's most important. As a parent, you could have every single luxury known to man, but if your child has run away from God and despises you, your stuff isn't going to comfort you. That's when you see, this is worthless. People are what matter. People are what matter. Your relationship with God, your relationship with others, gain the whole world and lose your soul, that's foolish. We are called, right here, we are called to sacrifice the temporary things to gain the eternal things. Yet, unfortunately, a lot of times we get that backwards. We sacrifice the eternal things to gain the temporary things. And God wants us to see the foolishness of that. Don't sacrifice the eternal to gain the temporary. When you look at this passage as a whole, Jesus has some radical thoughts that are laid out here that are not what the disciples were thinking or expecting. Not what they're wanting. They did not expect this detour that he's starting to warn them about, but this is a really important part of the plan. So he wraps up with a warning. Verse 38. He says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. He said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Jesus says, if you reject me and my teaching here, you have no part of me. Peter's already resisting, saying, no, no. And Jesus says, if you reject this, if you're ashamed of me and my plan, this isn't what you thought it was going to be, but this is what it is. And if you reject that, you rejected me. And you got no part of me. This is how it is. So if we will accept it and embrace it, then we can follow that path and we can get to true greatness. which is God glorified and us enjoying him forever. I don't know if you would, where would you identify yourself as being on this path? If you're experiencing suffering, rejection, like really difficult things, if you're somewhere here, or if you're back here and you're just learning about it, like, oh man, really? Some of you have been like all the way through this, and maybe you're over here. But tell me this, if this kind of reflects the life pattern that we have to follow, where on this scale will we grow and change the most? Where will God do the most powerful work in us on this scale? Is it back here? It's not, is it? Those of you who've been through it, you know this is the most powerful place where you will grow in your faith. If you cling to him, if you walk with him through it, you can go into this and reject him completely. That's possible too. But if you stay close to him, if you seek him, you look into him like, okay, God, show me what this is. I don't understand. And this hurts a lot. This is where you're going to grow and change the most. And tell me this, on this scale, where on this will God use you the most powerfully? It's probably not back here, is it? It may be in the middle of it as people are watching you face it with faith, walking with Christ in it. That's different. Wow, when everything's going well and you're doing well, that's no different from anybody else. But when you're here, that's when people say, there's something different about you. And when you get to this side, you get through it, that's another sweet spot where God is going to use you powerfully because you've been through it, you've been there, and you can help people. So my goal in explaining that is to help you almost want this to happen. I want this to happen in my life because this is where I'm going to grow the most. This is where God's going to use me the most. Even though it hurts and it stinks and it's painful and it's struggle. My wife's parents, they're somewhere over here. They've been missionaries in Africa for a long time, and they have been through really horrible things with other missionaries, unfortunately. Sometimes it's actually Christians who cause some of this stuff to happen. I wish that wasn't the case, but it is. And they've been through some horrible, horrible things, and they've endured. They've persevered and they've sought God and he's brought them through, and they're still serving in Africa right now, and they are experiencing awesome, awesome things. They've progressed from the capital city to a more distant city, and now they're just deep in the bush. They're going deep into these places they can't get during the rainy season. They set up this tent, they stay for a couple weeks. They're doing nursing kind of stuff and helping people with their wounds and ailments. And they are seeing God work in amazing ways. They've been through this. And now they're seeing it. And they could have given up. They wanted to give up. But they didn't. And they're here now. They're seeing awesome things happen. So they've been a blessing to me. If some of you get their letters and you can see every time they come back, they send another letter. It just blows me away what God's doing. But they had to go through some awful stuff to get there. Why is this? Why do we have to go through suffering? All of you have suffered. Kids, adults, it doesn't matter. You've all suffered. You've all been through stuff. Everybody has a different story. Why? Why is this part of the plan? God could have made a different plan. It's right here that our lives most reflect the gospel. It's right here where people can see Jesus most clearly when we're walking through that with faith, with Christ. That's where people see it. Unfortunately, that's how it is. That's the way it is. And, you know, this X here, I didn't label the X's, but this is suffering, rejection, and death. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to have to suffer, be rejected, and die. Most of us probably won't be called to physical death, right? I don't expect... It could happen. A few of us may be called to actual death for the gospel, but most of us will be called to other forms of death here. There are different ways that we have to die, and my wife is a living example of one of them. She had to die to her dreams, and that was tough. Anne had a lifelong dream of serving God as a missionary in Africa. It's where her parents were, and she dreamed of going back. When we started dating, she dated me because I was going into missions. That was my path too, and she made sure of that before we got to know each other. And so we were both on this track. We were at Cornerstone. We were going to be sent out as missionaries by this church whenever the church was ready to do that. And then Pastor Mark decided that he shouldn't be here anymore and he needed to go somewhere else. And he thought, I think you should consider becoming the lead pastor. I mean, that's an honor, but that wasn't the direction we were going. And, you know, we had to wrestle through that. And it was difficult for me, but it was more difficult for Anne, and it was harder for me to make that decision because of how hard it was for her, because her dream was to be a missionary, and why would God call someone to die to that dream? Come on. She wants to be a missionary. Hello? Like, what's wrong with that dream? Apparently, it wasn't God's dream. You could have a great dream. You could have an amazing dream. This is great. I'm going to serve God. But if it's not God's dream, it's not the right dream. So that was tough. That was a difficult, painful process, and she had to let go of that. But when we let go of our dreams, then we make room for God's dream to be awakened in us. That's what we need. That's where we want to go. We want to let God's dream be awakened in us. So Anne went through that process, and she's living a new dream now. This is God's dream, and it's better. And has it been easy for her? And I mean, still, it's not always easy. You know, she's still, you know, that would be great, you know, but she has a new dream now, and it's here. And it's better. It's better. Thankfully, Jesus ends on a positive note. If you notice, like, we're going to suffer, we're going to be rejected, and you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross. But in verse 38, he mentions that the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And he says, some of you standing here today will not taste death before you see the kingdom of God come with power. Why does he end that way? He's giving them hope. He just ripped the rug right out from under them. The Messiah is not what you thought. But the Messiah is coming with power and glory and the holy angels. So he ends with hope. In his kindness, he ends this confusing teaching by telling them, some of you are going to see my glory. You're going to see the kingdom. And that's where we're going to go next week, chapter 9. But this greatness thing is not what they expected. It's not what they wanted. But there's a new way to get there, what they did not expect. It's going to be hard. This is a path Christ took. It's what he calls us to take. So how are you with delayed gratification? In general and with spiritual things. This is a discipline that we have to develop to be willing to resist things. Do you have a sweet tooth? Anybody have a sweet tooth? Delayed gratification is something that we can develop thinking about that sweet tooth thing. Our family recently stopped having any kind of desserts after lunch or in the afternoon. No more snacking, no more dessert kind of stuff until after dinner. Like, we used to have it sometimes after lunch and after dinner. We decided no more of that. So right now our family is practicing discipline, not snacking during the day and only having dessert after dinner. So now, instead of having a little piece of cake, I have a whole row of cake after dinner. I mean, I have to make up for it somehow. We're not legalistic about it. But that's one way we're going. But how are you with delayed gratification? That's something we need to develop if we're gonna function. I mean, you're just gonna take off. Like, once the suffering comes, once the difficult things, and God calls you to die to something, like, I'm out of here. Unless you've built that strength by his power in you. Do you get easily upset when you don't get what you want right away? Are you easily angered by things like that? If you have trouble waiting for God's timing, man, he calls us to wait sometimes in ways we really don't want to. All of us struggle with this to some degree. So one thing I'd like you to do, like a next step going forward, when you read your Bible this week, read your Bible with delayed gratification in mind. Just look for delayed gratification and see if you find it anywhere else in the Bible, because I would suggest that it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the Bible. And so that's why I have this passage up here. I want you to see just two other scriptures that these are powerful words from God that talk about this delayed gratification idea. This is the Sermon on the Mount, Luke 6. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." You're poor now, kingdom of God later. "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." Now look at how Jesus wraps this up. "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." That's how their ancestors treated the prophets. Nothing new here. Rejection, suffering, it's all part of the process. But when you understand this truth, Jesus says, you can rejoice in that day, in that suffering, during that time. You can rejoice, and not just, "I have a deep joy of the Lord. I'm suffering terribly." Leap for joy. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. This is the truth. We can leap for joy in the bottom of the trough because we know what's coming. 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." He calls us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up. This is the path. Humble yourselves, go through the stuff, and he will lift you up in due time. You will be here with Christ. You will experience the glory. It's coming. Kids are excited about heaven, all kinds of things they look forward to. Allergy free. I mean, come on, it's going to be great. But the first thing they mentioned was God. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be with God. Delayed gratification is a discipline you're going to need on this journey to true greatness. You're going to need it, because the way up is down. That's how it starts. Lord God, help us. We want to follow you all the way to the end. We know the journey will include struggle. We get that. But God, help us to embrace the reality that those struggles can become beautiful opportunities to reflect the gospel of Jesus. So Lord, give us strength to endure them well, to grow stronger in the process, not to waste those things, but to come out on the other side in victory, not in defeat, in glory, not in shame. There is victory in Jesus. We know, Lord, we know there's victory in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing "Victory in Jesus." Think about that hope. Think about that glory that's coming.